everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Ray Allen. Ray is engineering and producing the show, but together we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show on this February the 7th, Tuesday afternoon. A very warm week on tap here, pushing almost 90 degrees by Thursday and Friday. Very unusual. The Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040 for your calls and your comments. And we also invite you to follow us on Twitter at Buckmaster Show. But let's go right now to the nation's capital. Terry Bracey is the Buckmaster contributor on Washington and governmental affairs. Mr. Bracey has enjoyed a long and distinguished career, beginning as a key aide to Congressman Morris K. Udall. He went on to serve under four presidents of both parties. He is senior partner in the respected government affairs firm of Bracey, Tucker, Brown, and Valenzano, which represents City of Tucson, one of their clients, as is the Central Arizona Project. Terry, how are you? You still recovering from that Super Bowl win?
What a game, huh? You know, I had turned it off, and when we got back home, I turned it on again, and at that point, it was 27-3, and I said, this is over. And so I'm reading about an hour later, and all of a sudden, I'm looking at the score, and wow. Yeah, it's really tells a lot about the power of persistence, huh?
It does,
Go ahead.
I was going to say you got a feel for the Falcons because, yes, we'll remember that as a great comeback, but we'll also remember as one of the great blowing the big lead jobs in a big championship game.
Well, that's the downside.
Yeah.
I do think that in life and in business and in government, the virtue of persistence is greatly underrated. It may be the most important of all.
And, of course, the Wildcats had a handful from Oregon. Boy, did they look good.
Well, it's one of the few games I've gotten a chance to watch this year. I'd rather think about the beating UCLA at Pauley Pavilion. I saw that game, too, and I was just stunned by how good they are. Great teams have bad nights, and these guys at Oregon were reining in these three-pointers at, historic percentages. So, you're going to have your nights. But I think they're a really and surprisingly great team, Arizona.
Well, the first 2.5 weeks of the Trump presidency, what can you say? I mean, other than the fact that we probably, and I've never seen anything like it. I don't think you have either. We've never really seen an opening to an administration like this, have we?
Well, Bill, we have to kind of pull back the camera and get some perspective. I think every presidency has a shakedown cruise. And this usually occurs because presidents like Bill Clinton and others wanted to immediately deliver on promises they made during their campaigns, and they tend to act on controversial matters without sufficient thought and input from government professionals. Now, President Trump's problems are exacerbated by the fact that neither he nor any of his advisors have any experience in government whatever, and also by the fact that they've got a big power fight going on among his advisors internally. So there's chaos there right now.
Yeah, that's what I hear. There's kind of this internal struggle going on. And do you think they perhaps maybe are underestimating or don't really understand the powers and the limits of the presidency?
Well, it's obvious to me that President Trump does not yet get it. Professor Richard Neustadt wrote what is still the seminal work on presidential power. Actually, the book is named that. And Neustadt concluded that the American president's ultimate power is the power to persuade. It's not to dictate, it's to persuade. And that's because we're a representative government with three co-equal branches, and it's because we operate under the rule of law.
And how do this, of course, controversial travel restriction, how does that play into that analysis, Terry?
Well, from a process point of view, it was a classic rookie mistake. You know, laying aside the policy with which I bitterly disagree, the president, egged on by his activist staff led by Mr. Bannon, failed to persuade anyone before announcing the ban on travel from, the seven nations that are Muslim-dominated. He surprised his own cabinet, the Congress, the judiciary, and the public. As a result, the action ran into a blizzard of opposition from both political parties, gave birth to an ever larger and more intense demonstration in the streets, and was blocked by the judiciary, at least for now. We'll find out maybe later today. President Trump, throughout his business career, Bill, has shown the ability to adapt to change in order to be successful. One could only speculate, but I assume he'll adjust to the job in time.
And then you have this long-term battle going on with the press, the president showing his disdain for the press. But at the same time, we all know that he wants publicity. He wants to be liked in the press. So what are some of these long-term dangers?
Well, Bill, I'm not nearly as concerned about the president's war with the press as I am on his war with the truth. I think he unnecessarily demeans himself and his office by claiming things which are demonstrably false. Who cares if President Obama had bigger crowds at his inauguration? It really isn't important. That is, until Trump claims that he had the biggest crowd ever. And he rants about the press and fake news when anyone who looked at pictures of the two inaugurations can clearly see that Obama's crowd, for whatever reason, was much larger, not even close. So I've worked under four presidents of both parties, at least two of whom have told some whoppers, but they had the sense to apologize when caught by the press. Not Trump. And this could really destroy his credibility if he's not careful.
The Democrats really, how do you see this whole rebuilding project for the Democrats right now? And that's what it is. It's a huge undertaking.
Well, yeah, and number one, in my opinion at least, the Democrats are badly in need of new blood at the top. Some people just don't know when to quit.
Mm-hmm.
And they're in need also of a policy agenda that appeals to middle America. During the Obama years, Democrats got very comfortable with their national power and failed to do their grassroots organizing and managed to lose most of their governorships in the state legislatures across America. Now the Democrats are just a bi-coastal party. They win in the East and the West Coast states while losing every state in the heartland. We can learn a lot more, Bill, I think, about the party's future when the Democratic National Committee selects a new leader, which they'll do very soon. Will the old establishment, kind of dominate again, or will somebody be selected from the younger crowd, the new order? Ultimately, the growing opposition to Trump's policies, I think, will generate tremendous enthusiasm in numbers, but the real question is, what will the Democrats make of it?
So, Terry, it sounds like you're not really happy with anybody these days.
No.
Is that
Well, yeah, I'm not real happy these days. But, Bill, I still have a strong belief in our political system and its ability to right itself. And I see wonderful things that Americans are doing for each other. I mean, here in Tucson, we see groups helping move the city forward. There are groups seeking business and new jobs for the region, people tending to the poor and struggling immigrants. What about the mayor's program, the reading program, where so many citizens of both parties have volunteered their time to teach youngsters? This whole community is inspiring, and I think Democrats and Republicans work hand in hand to better our community. They can also work hand in hand to demand something more of our political system than yelling matches and on television and fake news.
So if there was one thing that you would like to see changed, what would that be, Terry Bracey?
Well, I can think of a lot of things, but the one thing I would really require is that every student pass a test on basic civics before graduating from high school. In order to have a successful self-government, citizens must understand the basics of their own system. Today, most do not. Shocking number, cannot name the three branches of our government. How do you choose leaders, Bill, if you don't know what they're leading? And, you know, and we all must feel obliged to vote and to do so in an informed manner, because we can see that the future of our society depends on it.
All right, Terry Bracy, and I think actually Arizona has become the first state, right, Ray? Ray is telling me yes. We are the first state, Terry, to have that as a requirement, a civics test before you can graduate from high school here in Arizona. So there you go.
I believe the governor has made that happen, and I applaud him.
All right, Terry Bracy, thank you very much, sir. Have a great day.
I'll be in a better mood next time.
All right. Thank you, Terry. One thing that will help put folks in a good mood, I can pretty much guarantee a nice trip over to Silver City, something different. A 3-hour drive east of Tucson, and very interesting community, historic community. Of course, just north is the Gila Cliff Dwellings National Monument. This would be a great weekend to get away over there to Silver City. When temperatures start pushing the upper 80s here in Tucson, it would be delightful in Silver City. SouthwestNewMexico.org is the website. Full listing of places to stay and things to do. We'll be right back with Shelley Fishman, who is going to give me I guess the markets are flat again. They were looking good, but by showtime, they flattened out. Be right back.
Hey, I'm Dr. Kevin Lehman from 5-Star Termite and Pest Control. You got bugs? They driving you up the wall? I'm telling you, you will not be sorry. You call my friend Shelby Hawkins at 886-0045. They are more than competent. They're very economical. And check this out. They're friendly to our environment. 886-0045.
We're 5-Star Pest Control. We know what bugs you.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. On a changing planet, the University of Arizona's Biosphere 2 has been diving deeper and looking closer while energizing, innovating, conserving, and advancing science on an unparalleled scale to better understand the natural systems around us and to inspire our future generations. For 10 years now, UA Biosphere 2 has explored our planet's future. Come, explore it yourself. Open daily, biosphere2.org.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Wednesday at noon, a preview of this weekend's Gem and Mineral Showcase at the Tucson Convention Center. Also, Hank Amos, head of Tucson Realty, joins us for an overview of the Tucson real estate scene. All happening on Buckmaster on Tucson's Voice, AM 1030, KVOI, with worldwide live listening podcasts and our complete show archive on my website, buckmastershow.com.
Shelley Fishman is a certified financial planner professional. The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
At about 12:20 every Tuesday, we consult with Shelley Fishman. Shelley, I looked at the numbers this morning when the market first opened, hearing all this about a new high for the Dow, and I thought, oh, this is great. Tuesday, Shelley will be in a couple hours. I'll be talking with him. He'll be in a terrific mood. And now things have flattened out.
Yeah, we're down to about 30 points on the Dow, and actually negative on the S&P.
So, oh, man.
Yeah, let's call it a flat day right now.
Mm-hmm. Are the earnings pictures still looking pretty good?
Earnings pictures are looking, for the most part, pretty good. And that's, I think, what's holding the Dow at its current optimistic level. The other thing, of course, was the report on Friday, the unemployment and the employment picture. The numbers were astonishingly good, including some, you know, really good numbers around increased participation rate in the job market and some increases as a result in salaries.
You talked earlier on our program about something called the fiduciary rule, and we were talking before the election how the new administration, at the time, of course, we didn't know which administration it would be, would look on this proposed rule.
Right. So the Department of Labor worked 8 years or 7 years to develop this rule. They did it in conjunction with all of the interested parties. Nobody came away completely happy, but they did bring a consensus to the fore that was supposed to go into effect this April, 2 months from now. Last week, one of the executive orders issued by the Trump administration was to put that on hold for 60 days. And so the question is, number one, how do you understand what's really happened here? And number two, what's likely to go on, and why is it important? I think, first of all, I'm going to refer to several articles from the New York Times on Thursday and Friday, the business section, that really do, in fairly clear terms, lay out what it means, why it's important, and what's likely to happen, what most companies are likely to do. This rule, we knew this was going into effect for almost a year now. And so most of the brokerage houses and insurance companies and others affected by the rule have already put in place the things that they need to do to be compliant. In addition, I think there's been enough talked about relating to the rule in its simplest form that it would be very difficult for any administration to simply say, we'll scrap the darn thing, because it is being articulated that the rule insists that at least for retirement accounts, and that is all kinds of retirement accounts, IRAs, 401ks, 457s, et cetera, that any advisor must, on a going forward basis, put the client's best interests ahead of his or her own best interests in recommending strategies and products to those clients. And there are paperwork and paper trail requirements contained in the rule that are a pain in the neck for companies who have opposed it because of the additional expense, but really do protect investors.
So it would be It's on the surface, this sounds like a good thing for the consumer.
For the consumer, it absolutely is a good thing. Now, there was some concern that because of these new rules, some companies would withdraw products from the marketplace, especially products that were very heavily incented by high commissions, and that would reduce the number of choices that clients would have in the marketplace, and therefore reduce their choices on things they could buy. Well, that may in fact be true, but if you don't know what you're buying because you don't have full disclosure and you don't know what is motivating your advisor, is that really a bad thing to have fewer choices if you know exactly what those choices really are?
And this is the first thing that when you sit down with an advisor, this would have to be disclosed.
Absolutely. Bill, this is so important. You and I have talked about it time and time again. You should never be too shy to ask an advisor what he or she is going to make on the deal. Mm-hmm. If there are other products that are essentially similar or the same in the marketplace that might have a better result for the client, never be shy about asking what that person's commissions are. Also, never be shy about asking that person what their licenses are and what licenses are required to sell a particular product, because you'd be surprised at how wide the variance is in terms of what's required on the part of an advisor to sell certain products. In fact, there are certain products out there that, for instance, index annuities, that don't require any kind of licensure for trading of either mutual funds or equities. You simply have to be licensed to be an insurance salesperson. They don't require any kind of paperwork that would give you the disclosures for the product at all. In fact, in some of these products, the insurance company can change the way you get paid year after year after year.
Oh,
you have no guarantees whatsoever. So one of the articles in the New York Times, what it talks about is the fiduciary pledge. So whether or not this rule goes through, what I'm supporting, what I believe is the right thing for clients to do, is insist that the advisor they're working with take a pledge to exercise that advisor's best efforts to always act in good faith and in the best interests of that client, and will act as a fiduciary. And the pledge should use the word fiduciary. It talks about providing written disclosure in advance of any conflicts of interest, which could reasonably compromise the impartiality of that advisor's advice, and moreover, in advance, disclose any and all fees that will be received as a result of the transaction. So that's in this article, and the date of the article is, let's see, the 4th, so it's just a couple of days ago. It is so important to not be shy and to insist that your advisor be absolutely transparent as to what he or she is doing. In addition, for those people, and it's millions and millions and millions of people who already have products, there should be a discussion of what those products are and what, in fact, on a going forward basis, is going to characterize how the advisor treats those products going forward. That was part of the fiduciary rule, that there was kind of a grandfathering in. But in the grandfathering in, the client had to explicitly agree that those products would be grandfathered in. And if not, then there were some penalties that needed to be paid and some additional disclosures. So there's a lot that can be done when the individual takes responsibility for their own financial outcomes. And again, never let anything that you've invested in be on automatic pilot. Constantly be asking the right questions and pushing back on your advisors, on people like me, about full disclosure of all the rules and any potential conflicts, et cetera. One good way to guarantee you're going to get a fiduciary is work with a CFP.
A certified financial planning. That's part of the deal.
But I tell you, I mean, I remember radio shows, even on this station, that were, you know, the free money show. and it was the guaranteed money show.
Free money.
Because the products that were being pushed required no licensure other than insurance salesman licensing. Mm-hmm. And there was absolutely no disclosure. And they didn't tell you, for instance, that, you know, this was going to tie up your money for 15 years. And there were long penalty periods. And that the financial impacts could be changed arbitrarily by the insurance company every year. So many things that people need to worry about and need to be careful about.
All right. The fiduciary pledge. I love it. Shelley Fishman, certified financial planner. Find out more about Shelley. Go to my website, buckmastershow.com. There'll be a link to get you to Shelley. He'd love to talk with you. Shelley, thank you. Have a great
week. Thanks, Bill. You too.
All right.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of LPL Financial or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is an LPL Financial planner. Shelley can be reached at 520-940-0884 or at his website, shelleyfishman.com. Securities offered through LPL Financial. Member FINRA, SIPC.
Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant, named after the classic New Orleans cocktail. Sazerac Creole Kitchen and Cocktail Parlor is located in St. Phillips Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See you soon at Sazerac, open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Phillips Plaza.
At the Humane Society of Southern Arizona, we've been caring for homeless pets for over 72 years. But as we've grown, our campus hasn't, and our pets and staff are crowded in run-down, dilapidated buildings. The need for a new campus is critical. The homeless pets in our care need healthier, stress-free space, and we need room to expand the important work of adoption and education. Please help us build our own forever home. Visit hssaz.org and donate today, because we're all in this together.
This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport, with six airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections. I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The Regional Transportation Authority and its members are working together to deliver transportation improvements to our region. More than 770 improvements have been completed to date. The success of the RTA is built upon collaboration and leadership that focuses on addressing our regional mobility needs to make our region a safer, more efficient, and more vibrant place to live. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Welcome back. Our Buckmaster Show listeners have heard me talk repeatedly about Green Things. And the reason I do so, it's a great place. My wife and I enjoyed a visit over there on Sunday. I just can't believe all the spring flowers they have ready to go. They're grown at Green Things. So when they come to your house, very little shock value when they're transplanted into the ground, into the pots, and into the ground at your home. It won't be a problem. 3384 East River Road for Green Things, just west of the intersection of Dodge and River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. GreenThingsAZ.com for more information about their free seminars, their weekend events that they do. Great service to the community on Friday and Saturday over at Green Things. Speaking of a service to our community, boy, I'll tell you, this Dr. Ray Woosley, he has it together. Hi, Ray, how are you?
I'm good, Bill.
And the reason I say you have it together, not just because you are the former UA College of Medicine Dean and founder and now president emeritus of Tucson-based Critical Path Institute, known as CPATH, but I'm talking about your latest creation, which is something called Credible Meds, which is really helping consumers the world over to figure out in a very simple manner the meds you are taking, what are the side effects, what are the interactions. It's easy, isn't it, Ray?
Yeah. Well, if it'd be easy, we'd do better with it. But it's easy to know what
type in the name of
your
med.
You're talking about the website.
I'm sorry.
Absolutely. Yeah. Our website is hopefully, and we're eager to change it if it isn't, but we are user-friendly. We have a portal there for patients, another one for healthcare providers, another one for researchers, and we get about 1,000 visitors a day.
Wow.
And we have 86,000 registered users of the information we provide. We just came out with an iPhone app that you can download and keep on your cell phone or Android or Windows Mobile that will help you identify the medicines that can cause harm and can hurt, cause arrhythmias and sudden death.
CredibleMeds.org is the website. Dr. Woosley, I was very concerned. Being the animal lover I am, I saw that that store, that the Food and Drug Administration put out a press release. It was picked up by the media that warning pet owners about some of these medicines that you for humans, don't let the pets anywhere near them.
Exactly.
It's bad news.
One of the things that Credible Meds focuses on is we acknowledge medicines are great, and they've made great advances in our healthcare, but we've got to use them correctly. And one of the ways we often forget is just leaving a medicine laying on the coffee table or down where children and in this case animals can reach them. Animals will have been dying because they bite a tube of medicine that may be for a skin cancer or skin coloring,
right,
and they end up dying from it. And the numbers are just growing because we're getting more medicines. The average American has about 12 prescriptions per year. The average person over age 65 has 15 prescriptions, and many of those are left laying around the house.
Some of these medicines are in the form for dermatological needs that are used in certain skin cancer cases. You apply to the area in question, then your pet comes along and starts licking your perhaps wrist where you've just put some of this on there, and that could be fatal.
It can be. You know, the medicines that, the analgesics that you rub on your skin, these are very dangerous and lethal for most dogs, especially dogs. And a lot of the medicines today are hormones that can alter the animals and make them sick. So it's important that we recognize these are very potent potentially dangerous things that if we are, even if we're taking pills and we drop one, be sure to pick it up because your animal will get that.
Yeah.
And it could be lethal and has been lethal.
And, of course, then there's the whole issue with children, especially children under six, getting a hold of these medications.
That's the other scary number. Of course, we love our pets, but we also love our children.
Yeah.
And
I mean,
the poison centers in this country who do a wonderful job.
Especially the one here locally.
We are so blessed
Arizona
to have.
Arizona Poison Control Center.
They do amazing work. And every year, about 1 million episodes of poisoning happen for children under six. And 100,000 of those are children who were poisoned by our painkillers that we leave laying around. 120,000 for our allergy medicines. 53,000 for creams and lotions like we were talking about. And 32,000 poisonings occur due to dietary supplements, reminding us that they are medicines too. So we really need to be careful.
You're talking about like vitamin supplements.
Vitamins and dietary supplements. Well, vitamins actually is a different category.
Oh, okay.
I think it's almost 60,000 for vitamins, but 33,000 for dietary supplements. You know, these are the herbals and things that we get at the health food stores.
And a lot of this stuff is left over. Some of these prescriptions have maybe long expired, and we've still got them.
We do.
Have them in the medicine cabinet. Oh, I'll just leave them there.
Yeah.
And not a good idea.
Not at all, because what you're assuming is that you'll be able to accurately know when to take that prescription medicine again. And it may be a totally different problem. And I know of a case right now of somebody who was taking a medicine for GERD, and they just held on to those medicines when their indigestion came back. Turns out it was a heart attack. So keeping that medicine and taking it delayed their trip to the hospital. And so don't keep those medicines. When they're gone, get rid of them safely.
How do you get rid of some of that stuff? What's the best way to do it?
Well, that's really important because a lot of people just pour them down the drain.
Or the toilet or
exactly.
Whatever.
And that goes right into our water. And the levels of these medicines are rising in our water. But we're also very fortunate. This community has multiple drop sites around the city. You go to the PimaCounty.gov or the Sheriff's Department website, they will tell you where take-back programs and Disposamed programs are. Oro Valley started this years ago, and now it's all through our county. So you can drop them off. You can take them to events once a month, several times a month, but in Oro Valley, for example, at the Walmart every first Saturday.
Really?
Thousands of these pills are turned in by people. And it just every month, it's another big 3 feet high bottle of these pills.
And then they're
these
disposed.
Pills.
These people, the experts, know the proper way to dispose of them.
Exactly. And they take them out and they don't ruin the environment. And they don't, and they make sure they're not used anymore.
Some people say, I'm going to save the pills. So like, well, a couple of years ago, maybe I had this problem. Maybe I'll have it again, and then I'll just take these pills. This stuff goes out of date, doesn't it?
It does, and then it becomes dangerous. But, you know, honestly, the bigger danger is burglars know what we have in our medicine
chest.
And they will break in to get those. And we've got the very potent opiates, and those burglars are addicted, and then they end up on heroin. So it's just part of good citizenship to use these medicines intelligently and then get rid of them.
Perhaps for another time we can talk about that front page article about Alzheimer's and all the medications that have been in the pipeline. It was on the front page of the Star today.
Mm-hmm.
Unsuccessful, dozens and dozens. But, you know, there's like, I believe, 70 different medications that are in the pipeline. And that's one of the things that you're so proud of that you put together over at the Critical Path Institute in perhaps moving forward with some of these medicines in a much more timely manner.
Exactly. And what CPATH is doing, and you're right, I am very proud of them, they've been able to get the companies to share what they've done, which isn't working.
No.
And they're sharing their mistakes, they're sharing their data. So then now the trials that are being designed have a much better chance of succeeding. So, yes, I'd love to talk
more
about that.
Maybe next month.
Yeah.
Ray Woosley, always a pleasure. CredibleMeds.org is where we would like to direct our listeners and anyone concerned about their health, and that should be all of us. Thank you very much, Ray.
Thank you, Bill.
All right. Be back with our Fox Tucson Theater Arts Report with Margaret Regan of the Tucson Weekly right after this. The excitement is building for the grand opening in early 2017 for the Twisted Tandoor. The legendary Indian food truck will now have a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu will be an expansion of the Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, coming in early 2017 at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. On a changing planet, the University of Arizona's Biosphere 2 has been diving deeper and looking closer while energizing, innovating, conserving, and advancing science on an unparalleled scale to better understand the natural systems around us and to inspire our future generations. For 10 years now, UA Biosphere 2 has explored our planet's future. Come, explore it yourself. Open daily, biosphere2.org.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. We bring you national stories ignored by the mainstream media. Sources include the Washington Times News Service, Personal Liberty Digest, the National Center for Policy Analysis, the Washington Free Beacon, and the Heartland Institute. It is national news coverage from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Experience the best of the Canadian Rocky Mountains with the rail journey on Rocky Mountaineer. You'll travel alongside the powerful Kicking Horse River and pass by monumental landmarks from the early days of the National Railway. On this legendary route, you'll see postcard images around each bend, including stays in picturesque Lake Louise, with scenic tours of Jasper National Park, and much more. Contact Bon Voyage Travel to plan your Rocky Mountaineer rail journey today. Bon Voyage Travel, your travel experts.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. The Regional Transportation Authority works with its member jurisdictions, the business community, project neighbors, and the broader community to deliver transportation projects promised in 2006. This collaborative effort is a model of diverse interests coming together for the benefit of the region. This spirit of regional collaboration helps us address the mobility and safety needs in all of our communities. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Welcome back. This week's Arts Report on the Buckmaster Show, sponsored by the Crown Jewel of Downtown. That would be Fox Tucson Theater. 1 week from today, you know it. Big day, Valentine's Day. Memorable performance coming up. Take your sweetheart to the Fox. see jazz greats Branford Marsalis Quartet with the special guest vocalist Kurt Elling. And then on Sunday the 19th, a unique concept in live entertainment. It's called Big Top Broadway. The show is really going to be fun. It's got an intricate interaction between brilliant and some really cool stuff going on. Aerialists, jugglers, contortionists, accompanied by vocalists performing treasured Broadway hit songs. So to check out and to buy tickets to Branford Marsalis Quartet with special guest Kurt Elling on Valentine's Day in Big Top Broadway, Sunday the 19th, visit foxtucson.com. Let's welcome Margaret Regan. Margaret has been writing about the arts since 1990 for the Tucson Weekly. She is the author of two prize-winning books. Her latest book, both books dealing with immigration. The latest book is titled Detained and Deported, Stories of Immigrant Families Under Fire. The book has done very well. Wonderful reviews. She's traveled all over the country speaking about the book. Margaret, how are you?
I'm good, Bill. I'm just back from Davis, California, in fact.
Well, I did not know that, but in my intro, I figured you had done some more speaking and had been on the road.
Yeah.
So how was everything over at
University of California? University of California at Davis. It was nice. It was a full day symposium on immigration, so it was nice. I was able to do a reading from my book and talk to the people there. Most of them were scholars, and I'm a journalist, so it's quite interesting to see the different points of view.
Were you over at the Temple Gallery recently? They've got that dinnerware show.
That's really a fun thing. Now, anybody who's been following art in Tucson for as long as I am knows all about dinnerware, but probably new to some people. Dinnerware was an artist collective. It started way back in 1979 in downtown Tucson when, as you might remember, Tucson was pretty much a place of boarded up storefronts and a lot of dive bars.
I do remember. But rarely did anyone go downtown unless you had jury duty. That was pretty much
right. Yeah. So this group of artists, 1979, decided to form an artist co-op. And one of the good things about downtown when it was not performing well was that the rents were low, and people could get these buildings and set up art galleries. And so dinnerware got started, you know, with a good number of young people, maybe probably 20, 25, all those years ago. And what's interesting to see in this show at the Temple Gallery, this was looking pretty much at the first decade of dinnerware, and how many of those artists, then young and unknown, have become very well known in Tucson and elsewhere and have contributed enormously to our community. Bailey Dugan, mm-hmm. I don't know if you know her. She's a painter, now 75, still painting. She was the first female faculty member at the U of A art department. And, you know, they kind of hired her reluctantly, and then they tried to deny her tenure, and this very exasperated dean overturned their decision because they just had no grounds. She's gone on to become a nationally famous painter who does raw female nudes, challenging ideas of beauty. She has an important piece at the Brooklyn Museum of Art. So it's so fun to see how dinnerware helped to incubate the careers of a lot of people.
And for those that don't know, and perhaps we have winter visitors listening, the Temple Gallery is located at 330 South Scott Avenue. And this particular show that you will be writing about in the weekly coming up, right?
Right, that's upcoming.
This particular show is free and is up through the 24th. Is that correct? 24th
right.
of February.
Yeah, the 24th of February, and also to those visitors who might be interested, it's a wonderful building in and of itself. You know, that was the building built around the 1920s, fallen into ruin, you know, in a couple decades ago, and has been restored to a beautiful space. So it would really be a fun thing to learn about kind of the history of Tucson's downtown, and then to learn about the history of our arts. As you know, we have a very thriving art scene. You know, some of these other photographers in it, Harold Jones was the director of the Center for Creative Photography, Ann Simon Myers was the head of the photography program at Pima College. Alfred Quiroz, who just had a major degree at the Museum of Art, and kind of on and on how well these people did.
And Jim Wade was involved, wasn't he, the well-known painter?
Oh, yeah. Jim Wade, yeah. And, you know, he made these beautiful sort of near abstractions of the Arizona desert. He was an early professor at Pima College, you know, back in those days. He was a young artist trying to make a living teaching art when Pima College was new. And he has often said it was actually the desert around Pima College's west campus that seduced him. That's his word. He was seduced by the desert's cactus and light when he used to bring his students out there into the desert to draw. So, you know, there are just so many little aspects of Tucson that are all embodied in this show. And then the second part of it, starting in March, is going to show artists who were at Dinnerware for the last two decades. It finally closed down in 2003 as an artist co-op. The name has been revived as a nonprofit, and it's been in various locations, but not the old co-op spirit where all the artists were doing it themselves. But David Aguirre, who's been the person running it, is hoping to get it open again on Broadway sometime in the near future.
The rents will be quite a bit different on Broadway than they were kind of back in the late 70s, for sure.
Yeah.
You were doing
looking at those spaces. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say you were doing some art show visiting. Was it Saturday night you were out and about?
Yeah, Saturday night art safari. You know, three times a year we have these mass gallery openings in the neighborhood, pretty much concentrated at 6th Street and 6th Avenue. And it's really fun because you just hop from one gallery to the next. A lot of people are out and about. They have snacks and wine. It's just really a fun time. I went to Davis Dominguez Gallery, and I saw some beautiful paintings by painter Joanne Carahard. She's a Tucson artist who's been around for quite a while. When she was pretty young in the 1990s, she had a big one-person show at the Tucson Museum of Art, and that kind of launched her. Her current paintings are large-scale flower paintings, which sounds funny, but they're very delicate, and the flowers are hugely enlarged, and they make these beautiful, just sort of pale-colored abstractions on the wall. Very nice.
Is there a big dance show coming up at Centennial Dance Theater?
Yeah, in fact, yeah, that's what I'm going to be writing about this week for the Tucson Weekly next week. I'm always a week ahead of the rest of the world. Dance Theater of Harlem is coming to Centennial Hall Friday night, February 17th, just for the one night. You know, UA Presents does a very good job of bringing in big-time dance companies from around the country. And Dance Theater of Harlem has a storied history. That was created way back in 1969 by Arthur Mitchell, who was a renowned African-American dancer to perform with Balanchine's New York City Ballet. He was only the second African-American hired into that company, and Balanchine set a lot of dances on him. And he was a kid from Harlem, you know, with a rough background, and he, in his success as a dancer, he created the Dance Theater of Harlem. It's still up in Harlem. It's very well noted for its service to the community, lots of dance classes for kids, and yet they still remain a regular company, and they do classic ballets, and they do some new stuff. So as far as I know, they haven't been in Tucson before, certainly not in the time I've been writing about dance here. So that's something really to look forward to Friday a week from now.
All right, Margaret Regan, always a pleasure. We will look forward to your upcoming visit with us. Thank you, Margaret, for your service to the show. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Bill.
All right, Margaret Regan, long time, actually since 1990, she's been writing about the arts for the Tucson Weekly. Just such a wealth of knowledge about the Tucson art scene. This week's Arts Report is sponsored by Fox Tucson Theater, Tucson's meticulously restored Art Deco movie palace. Boasting, and they have lots to boast about. They have a modern state-of-the-art sound quality system, superb audience-to-stage sight lines, roomy 1930s concert hall seating, And of course, everyone's pointing to the performance a week from tonight on Valentine's Day with jazz greats Branford Marcellus Quartet and special guest Kurt Elling on stage. All of that happening on Valentine's Day. And the Texas Tenors, by the way, are coming on February the 24th. You can find out about all of the Fox Theater performances and the pricing information, the whole spring schedule. Purchase tickets at foxtucson.com. Coming up this afternoon, Mic Check with Mr. Mike Shaw and Ray Allen, so ably assisting Mike, and the two of them put together a great hour. That's coming up from 4 to 5 this afternoon, then Wake Up Tucson 6 to 9 here on KVOI, and then Talking Culture from 9 to 10. Buckmaster, 1204 to 1. So put it all together from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Half of our broadcast day is local talk. So we're happy about that, excited about it, and we're proud we can present that to our Tucson listeners. On behalf of Mr. Ray Allen, I'm Bill Buckmaster. We hope you have a great afternoon and evening.